everybody. I'm Dick Buckley. I have jazz records for you for the next 3 hours. With jazz records for you. We've got the good old good ones, the classics, the jazz masters, and we'll be listening to them until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Happens every Sunday around about this time, from noon until 3. I look forward to it. Hope you do, too. Hope you spread the word. Tell a friend about the good jazz you hear here. We're going to get started this afternoon with Bob Crosby's Bobcats and a thing that they recorded in Los Angeles January 29th of 1942. Yank Lawson was back in the trumpet section and here leading the Bobcats through this one. Floyd O'Brien, trombone. Matty Matlock, clarinet. Eddie Miller, tenor saxophone. Jess Stacy, the pianist. Nappy Lamar, guitar. Bob Haggart, bass. And Ray Baduke, the drummer. And this is that da-da... easy for you to say. That da-da strain. Da-da strain done for you by the Bobcats. Here's another band within a band, Cootie Williams and a group of Ellingtonites that he recorded with back in the mid and late 1930s. Cootie Williams trumpet, Tricky Sam Nanton's trombone, Johnny Hodges playing the soprano saxophone here, Harry Carney baritone saxophone. Duke was just a sideman on this session at the piano. Of course, he probably had a heavy hand in the arranging. Hayes Alvis, the bassist, and Sonny Greer, the drummer. And this is a thing. Let's see who has composer credit on this, Duke or Cootie or both. Ellington is the composer, according to the record here. This is Blue Reverie. Are you sure? Of course I am. Blue Reverie. Cootie Williams and his Rug Cutters, to be exact. They recorded that March 8th of 1937. Cootie's trumpet, Tricky Sam Nanton's growl trombone, Johnny Hodges playing soprano saxophone, Harry Carney's baritone, with the Ellington rhythm section of Duke, Hayes Alvis, and Sonny Greer. Blue Reverie. Here is Zoot Sims from his album Zoot Sims Meets Jimmy Rolls. Ooh, it just about dropped it. I caught it. It's one thing, you can only drop those jewel boxes once, and they're shot. I was looking to see if I was right with the title, and I wasn't. It's called If I'm Lucky, and has Jimmy Rolls at the piano, George Moratz, the bassist, and Mousy Alexander, the drummer. And Zoot, and a Buddy Johnson ballad that Sister Ella used to sing with the Buddy Johnson band. I wonder where our love has gone. Mm-hmm. Sims with Jimmy Rolls at the piano, Mousy Alexander the bassist, Mousy Alexander the drummer, George Morantz the bassist. I Wonder Where Our Love Has Gone, from Zoot's album on Pablo called Zoot Sims Meets Jimmy Rolls, If I'm Lucky. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley here with the Jazz Records every Sunday, playing the good old good ones for you. Here's a tenor saxophone ballad expert, altogether different approach than the one we just heard with Zoot Sims. This is Don Byas, and a thing that he recorded while he was still in this country, September 12th of 1945, with Johnny Guarnieri at the piano, Al Hall, the bassist, and Sidney Catlett, the drummer. This one is, I'll never forget what's his name. that's funny, except I didn't write it down on the music sheet. I thought I'd remember it, and I should know better than that. Here it is. You call it madness, but I call it love. You old enough to remember Russ Colombo? Thank you. Bias. And as I heard somebody say one time, I think it was here I heard it, if you're going to give personnel and information on the record, give it correctly. It was recorded January 23rd of 1945 on the Jamboree label, and the Don Bias All-Star Quintet that had Joe Thomas there with his trumpet, Johnny Guarnieri the pianist, Billy Taylor the bassist, and Cozy Cole the drummer. You call it madness, but I call it love. Here's a side from a Chicago vocalist who has a brand new album out, Jackie Allen. John Mulder is the guitarist. Orbert Davis is the trumpet soloist. And this is one of the big hits by Burt Bacharach and Hal David. This Guy's in Love with You.
If not, I just die.
Sides from Jackie Allen's brand new album on the what's the name of the label? Easy for you to say. A440 Music Group. All right. That was Orbit Davis with his trumpet and John Mulder's guitar. This guy's in love with you. Here's Coleman Hawkins from an Apollo album that he made that was supposed to be one of the first bebop albums. He had Dizzy Gillespie and Leo Parker and Don Byas and Bud Johnson, all kinds of fine young players. Oscar Pettiford, the bassist, Max Roach, the drummer. But one of the things that he did, the guy who owned the label was no dummy. He wanted Body and Soul on the Apollo label. And Hawkins always said that he couldn't understand why the thing caught on the way it did, because he said it was just that one-time improvisation of Body and Soul. If they'd done another take, it would have been entirely different. So that's actually what they did on this Apollo recording. They did Body and Soul, but they called it Rainbow Mist. Mm-hmm. Colin Hawkins. And to avoid royalty payments on Body and Soul, they called it Rainbow Mist. That's the title of the album, too, on the Delmark label, originally on Apollo. Here's Quincy Jones and the band that made a trip to Europe with the show Free and Easy, and the show went bust, and the band was stuck in Europe, and Quincy got him enough jobs to make enough money to get him home. It was quite a band, too, a real band of real all-stars. They were recorded at the Alhambra in Paris, it says circa 1960, and featuring here Benny Bailey's harmon-muted trumpet, Phil Wood's alto saxophone, and Les Spahn, the guitarist, Stockholm Sweetening. At the Alhambra in Paris, Quincy Jones and the big band recorded. Circa 1960 is as close as they come to a date. And that was Stockholm Sweetening. Trumpet soloist was Benny Bailey. The guitar soloist was Les Spahn. A strange sound. Sound like he was playing the amplified guitar without the amplifier or some such. Phil Woods was the alto saxophone soloist. He also played lead alto with the band. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley here with the Jazz Records. We do this sort of thing every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock, playing the good old good ones for you. Here's Artie Shaw and the last big band that he had. This is the big band that he had so much, expectations were so high, and it crashed so badly. They say he called a bad boy in, told him to go get a copy of Billboard, find the 20 top-selling tunes, go to the music store and buy the stock arrangements of the 20 top-selling tunes, and he brought them back, and that's what the band played. He said he marched with the clarinet over the shoulder and did all the playing with one hand and all of the things that he thought would make the band commercial, and it didn't, of course. But I imagine he had fun doing it. This is the band from 1949. And I don't know who did this arrangement. They give the arrangers on a lot of the things, but this one they don't. Love Walked In. Artie Shaw and the orchestra from 1949, and an album called Cool Daddy, Experiments with Bebop. Artie Shaw. The guitar soloist was Jimmy Rainey. The piano soloist was Dodo Marmarosa. Was there a trumpet solo there? I was checking something else, and I didn't listen all the way through. If it was, it was Don Fagerquist, and if it was, I'm sorry, I missed him. Artie Shaw. That was a good band. All of Artie's bands were good bands. All of them. Let's listen to Count Basie and the orchestra. Basie recorded this one in February of 1970. in New York. Chico O'Farrell did this arrangement for the Basie Band of The Lady is a Tramp. Count Basie and the Orchestra from February of 1970, and a Chico O'Farrell arrangement of The Lady is a Tramp. What was the thing that was the big hit that Basie had that I think Frank Foster based on the chords of The Lady is a Tramp? Won't come to me now. Those brain cells, I must have eaten up too many of them in my misspent youth or something. Here's Fletcher Henderson and the Orchestra, thing from 1936, recorded here in Chicago. Brother Horace did this arrangement of the Edgar Sampson swing-era classic, Blue Lou. Features tenor saxophone of Chew Berry and the trumpet of Roy Eldridge. Sid Catlett was the drummer, John Kirby the bassist. What a lineup. Horace Henderson, of course, at the piano. And Blue Lou. Horace Henderson's arrangement of Blue Lou, done for you by the Fletcher Henderson Band, from March 27th of 1936, recorded here in Chicago. Roy Eldridge, just the most exciting thing in jazz, little jazz, just fire came out of his horn. And Chewberry's tenor, and who else did we hear from? Trombone, probably Ed Cuffey's trombone, may have been Fernando Arbello. Here's the Bill Holman Big Band, and the third movement from an extended composition of his called The Big Street. You'll hear Mel Lewis, the drummer, Stu Williamson's trumpet, Richie Kamuka's tenor saxophone, followed by Bill Holman's tenor saxophone. They trade 16 bars apiece. And then out. The Big Street, Part 3.
We'll be right back.
Bill Holman in the Big Band with the Big Street Part 3. I'm Dick Buckley. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio.
Join WBEZ Stories on Stage and the MCA on Tuesday, June 10th at 7:30 p.m. for What Am I Now? Featuring stories about life-altering events. The program will include UFO and Kushiro by noted Japanese author Haruki Murakami. It's from his acclaimed collection, After the Quake. For tickets, 312-397-4010. And we're broadcasting from the Lehman Family Public Radio Center at Chicago's Navy Pier. This is Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ Chicago, 91.5 FM, WBEW Chesterton, 89.5 FM, and WBEZ.org.
We have a typical topical type tune to begin hour number two. I remembered one of the early recordings by what was then the Jazz Members Big Band, the album called Mayday, and what could be more appropriate? Here's John Campbell at the piano. These are the features: John Campbell at the piano, Brian Sanders tenor saxophone, and Art Davis flugelhorn. Art Davis, who is a world-class musician and one of the finest in Chicago, one of the finest trumpet players anywhere. This is Mayday.
We'll be right back.
The Jazz Members Big Band, going back a few years for that one. That was May Day. I know we're a month late, but then what the heck, who's counting? The Jazz Members Big Band, the album was called May Day, and you heard John Campbell featured at the piano, Brian Sanders tenor saxophone, and Art Davis flugelhorn. Next up, we have the great Benny Goodman Band, the late summer and early fall of 1941, when people like Billy Butterfield and Cootie Williams were in the trumpet section, sharing solos. Jimmy Maxwell played the lead trumpet. Lou McGarity and Cuddy Cutshaw were the two trombones. Vito Musso was the tenor saxophone soloist. Mel Powell was the pianist and did a lot of the writing and arranging. And Big Sid Catlett was the drummer for a brief period of time. Here's that edition of the Goodman Band from the Meadowbrook in New Jersey, September 23rd of 1941, the 1 o'clock jump.
listening pleasure, Mutual has presented Benny Goodman and his orchestra from Frank Daly's Meadowbrook on Route 23, the North Thompson Turnpike in Cedar Grove, New Jersey, just 15 miles from New York. Your announcer has been Frank Dunn. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Boy, that brought back memories, huh? The Pompton Turnpike, the Meadowbrook, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Yeah. Benny Goodman and the orchestra from, when did I say it was? September 23rd of 1941. The 1 o'clock jump. Here are the Dorsey brothers. The Dorsey brothers from May 14th of 1933. Bunny Berrigan was the trumpet with the Dorsey brothers at this time. Tommy and his trombone and Jimmy and his clarinet and alto saxophone. And this is Mood Hollywood, written by Lenny Hayton and Jimmy Dorsey, one that I've always liked, Mood Hollywood. Dorsey Brothers, featuring Bunny Berrigan's trumpet, from March 14th of 1933, that was Mood Hollywood. That was the A Master, in case you're interested in things like that. Here's Stan Kenton, an early Kenton thing. Well, it was from 1951, written by Stan Kenton and Art Pepper, and arranged by Kenton, it says. Soloist Art Pepper's alto saxophone and Kenton's piano and Don Bagley, the bassist. I wonder if this helped pay for a new Buick or something. Wasn't it Buick that had was advertising back in the early 1950s, the Dynaflow? Anyway, that's the name of this one, Dynaflow. And that was Dynaflow, done for you by the Stan Kenton Orchestra. Going back to 1951, March 28th of 1951, they recorded that. Art Pepper featured with his alto saxophone. Let's listen to Woody Herman now and the band that... I don't think this had a Herd number. It would have been the fourth Herd. This was the band that recorded for the Phillips label for a while and then switched to Columbia. And this is one of their Columbia recordings called Woody's Winners. And this one features Salvatore Nistico. Sal Nistico and his tenor saxophone. And the more they played this one, the faster they went. And nothing seemed to faze Sal. He was one of those players that could make sense no matter how fast the tempo. Always, always playing ideas. Northwest Passage, arrangement by Nat Pierce. We'll be right back.
Sal Nistikoff.
Yeah, that was Woody Herman and Northwest Passage. We have a recording date on that. Yeah, June of 1965, okay. The upper register trumpet work, or he who is striving for the upper register, was Bill Chase. Here's Duke Ellington. The band had just come back from their European tour and found themselves in the studio very shortly in New York City. This is a thing that they recorded, the last thing they recorded in England before they left, and the first thing they recorded in the U.S. after they came back. From August 15th of 1933, it's Harlem Speaks. Speaks, Duke Ellington and the orchestra from 1933. Tricky Sabnan. One of these days, I'm going to do a last hour featuring Tricky Sam. There's so many things to choose from. That's the problem. Here's, by the way, this is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley with the Jazz Records. Every Sunday we do this sort of thing. Every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock. If you don't hear the good old good ones anymore, you just don't listen to us, because that's what I feature. The good old good ones, the giants of jazz, the masters. And some new things, too. Like, for instance, right now, we have aside by Matt Kattengoob got together a big band on the West Coast, a bunch of young fellas like himself. This features Richard Hurwitz, the trumpet soloist, Chris Stewart, the alto saxophone soloist, and Jim Cox at the piano. Matt, an original of Matt's, based on the chords of Fine and Dandy, called Back to Basics, and that is spelled B-A-S-I-E-Q-U-E-S, Back to Basics.
Thank you.
That Kattengub and his orchestra, they got a nice, easy swinging feel to that for a group of young fellas. Back to Basics was the name of it. Richard Hurwitz featured with his trumpet, Chris Stewart, alto saxophone, Jim Cox was the pianist. And speaking of Basie, back to Basics, here's a thing that the band recorded for V-Disc January 11th of 1945, written by Al Killian of the trumpet section. Joe Jones, for some reason, didn't make this recording session, and Joe Marshall of the Lunsford Band sat in. This is On the Upbeat. Killian featured on the upper register trumpet there, and the Basie band with an Al Killian original called On the Upbeat, recorded for V-Disc. Next up we have the Juggernaut, the Cap Pierce Juggernaut, and a session from 1978. They were recorded at the Century Plaza Hotel in Los Angeles. And Joe Williams was one of the featured artists with the Juggernaut, with Joe's Blues.
You know what happened to me? Joe Turner is a man that inspired me. Some years ago, when I was a youngster in Chicago, Illinois, and the man sung the blues in such a way that it put a hurting on me, and somebody offered me twice what I was making just to sing the blues. And from that point on, folks, I was in a world of trouble. And that's Joe Turner's line. Now you run here, pretty baby, and sit down on your daddy's knee. I want to tell everybody how you've been sending me, but how good you make me feel. Now, baby, if that is your secret, woman, you'd better keep it to yourself. Because if you tell me, I just might tell somebody else. Now, I never, never, never loved. I've never loved. And I hope that I never will. Because a loving proposition can get somebody killed. Or at the very least get your feelings hurt, baby. You can get them bruised, I mean that. But sometimes one cannot help oneself. When she got great big legs, and she built up from the ground that she walk on. And anytime she touch me, yes, Lord, yes, my love come tumbling down. You can come and take me, take me, take me, take me, pretty babe. And put me in your big brass bed or that 10-foot round Hollywood job. I do not care. But listen, just let me find a toehold, darling. Then you can rock me till my face turn cherry red, until my face turn cherry red. Go ahead, Marsha, play the blues, baby. Yeah. Thank you. Marcia Royal. Marcia Royal. Marcia Royal. Yes, sir. All right. Marcia Royal wants you to know that he loves you madly. That's right. I wanna love you, baby. I wanna hold you in my arms. Cause I get the feeling when we're together that the world cannot do you no harm. Not when you're in my arms, baby. Kill a dead tree about you then. And I want to kiss you and kiss you and kiss you and kiss you, darling. I want to tear your fear apart. Well, I want to touch your very soul and try to ease your troubled heart this morning. And I want to please you, baby. I want to please you, so if you're itching, you have to tell me where to scratch now, because you see, I ain't one of them old fools go around there and feel like I know everything. And don't have me wasting time fumbling around looking for it. Show me where it's at. Show me where to scratch, baby. It's all about the hugging and the kissing and the scratching and the itching. One thing I know is a natural fact, whenever you're feeling good together, if you're feeling good together, baby, I know ain't nothing wrong with that. I don't care what your mama said, your papa, your minister, anybody. If you're feeling good, you're supposed to. And if you're not feeling good, then you ain't doing it right. That's right. Don't write me no letters. And woman, don't call me on the telephone. I need you person to person. Bring your big fine foxy self on home. Woman, when you know I'm all alone, I need you person to person. Just bring your warm, sweet, moist body on home, baby. Come on home, baby. I said I don't send me no letter because, you see, I can't hug no paper type. Don't send me no message. It don't talk to me at night. I need you person to person. I will send you to the beauty parlor in the morning, but tonight I will frizz your hair from the inside out. I'm gonna make a natural out that permanent this morning. Come on home, baby. That's right. Now don't send your brother. Don't send your brother, because I ain't gonna talk to no one else. And don't send your mother. Baby, you got to come yourself. I need you. Talking about person to person. I mean belly to belly and hand to back. It's been a long time since I felt my backbone crack. Come on home, baby. Little girl, suffered each night since you've been gone. I need you, person to person. Bring your big, fine, foxy, frantic, fun-loving, frontin' freakish, slow-grinding, all-night-loving, easy-riding self. On a hoe. Marsha.
Joe Williams with Juggernaut. Recorded live at the Century Plaza, and that's the name of the album on the Concord Jazz label. The Cap Pierce Juggernaut, featuring Joe Williams live at the Century Plaza. Quite a long title, but tells the whole story there. That was called Joe's Blues. To close off hour number two, here's one that Illinois Jacquet borrowed from the Count Basie book. Trying to think now, is this the one that was originally Every Tub, I think? Anyway, when Illinois was with the Basie Band, they called it Mutton Leg, and they speeded it up a little bit and gave Illinois a few extra choruses. It was quite a hit, so he brought it along with him and features it with his little band, Mutton Leg. Mutton Leg with Illinois Jacquet and his little band. They were just beginning to make it when that one was recorded December 19th of 1947. It was among some of the last records made before the musicians' strike against the record companies that started in 1948. And Illinois' little band was really, really beginning to gain a reputation, and boom, along came the record strike, and so for a year they couldn't make any records, and by the time they got around to it again, people had forgotten about Illinois. Well, that's it for now. We'll be back in a minute or so, or two, or three, or four. I'm Dick Buckley. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio.
The following is a public service announcement provided by Chicago Public Radio. Learn sign language this summer at the Chicago Hearing Society. Day and evening courses start June 9th at 8 locations, including the Loop and Northwest and Western suburbs. For registration information, call 773-248-9121 or click on ChicagoHearingSociety.org. This is Chicago Public Radio. Chicago Public Radio is supported by North Light Theater in Skokie, presenting At Wit's End, the new musical that recreates the spirit of the Algonquin Round Table and 1920s New York. Now playing for limited engagement. Ticket information is available at 847-673-6300. Support for this WBEZ program is provided by Symphony Sound, featuring a variety of high-end audio and video equipment for the home. Symphony Sound is Chicago's only premier Macintosh dealer. More information at symphonysound.com.
Our special guest today in our third hour is Earl Hines. And I know I've played a lot of Earl Hines because he's been on the scene for so many years, and he's had so many great big bands and has discovered so much talent. But one of the phases of his career that I've almost completely overlooked is the late 1950s and early 1960s, when he was leading a little traditional jazz band at the Hangover Club in San Francisco. In a way, it's a shame that a giant in the business like Earl Hines should have to return to almost everything except the straw hats and striped coats that go along with it. But that's the music business, I guess. He probably influenced more pianists than any other. Art Tatum was an inspiration. People didn't try and play like Tatum. They tried to practice so they could be as nimble-fingered as possible. But Earl Hines influenced Teddy Wilson, Nat Cole, Mary Lou Williams, Billy Kyle, Count Basie. On and on the list goes. Almost all of the pianists of the swing era were influenced by Earl Hines, with the possible exception of the boogie-woogie pianists and the Harlem Stride pianists. But he played both styles, but he really didn't influence any of them. We're going to be listening to the little group that Earl fronted in at the Hangover Club, that included Muggsy Spanier playing cornet and Jimmy Archie, trombone. Jimmy Archie worked in the big bands in New York. Edgar Hayes, King Oliver, Willie Bryant, Benny Carter, Claude Hopkins, Louis Russell, Noble Sissel. Muggsy Spanier, cornet, needs no introduction. Darnell Howard, clarinet. He worked with Earl Hines' big band, among others. Pops Foster, the daddy of the string bass, the man who played powerful swinging string bass all his life, and Earl Watkins, the drummer. At the Hangover Club in San Francisco in 1957, you heard sounds like this. and his sextet. And that was Baby, Won't You Please Come Home. The sextet was Muggsy Spanier, cornet, Jimmy Archie, trombone, Darnell Howard, clarinet, powerful front line, Pops Foster, the bassist, and Earl Watkins, the drummer, and of course Earl Hines at the piano. From the Hangover Club in San Francisco in 1957, here's his most famous composition.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was Monday Date, My Monday Date, Our Monday Date. It's just called Monday Date here. The Earl Hines Sextet Octet, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Sextet. When Earl was working at the Hangover Club in San Francisco in the late 1950s and Fantasy Records began their operation in San Francisco, they tried to get Earl Hines to do an album of piano solos, and he shied away from it. He said he wasn't a solo pianist. He was a band pianist. And they finally talked him into making an album, said, why don't you do an album of Fats Waller songs? So he showed up in the studio with a complete rhythm section, a guitarist and a bassist and a drummer and his own piano. And the guitarist and the bassist all took choruses, and they had wanted Earl Hines. They didn't care about the bass player and the guitarist. And they kept after him, and finally he did a solo album for Fantasy in 1957, I believe it was, that received rave reviews every place. People had forgotten just how great Earl Hines was, and his album of piano solos may not have sold well, but it opened the ears of a lot of jazz fans. And from that time on, he recorded occasional piano solo albums, but for the most part, he traveled with a little group that included a saxophonist who doubled on various reed instruments, and bassist and a drummer, and his piano. As a matter of fact, Eric Schneider of Chicago was with the Earl Hines group for a time. I remember seeing them at the at Rick's Cafe American with Earl and Eric playing the various reed instruments, even clarinet. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley here with the Jazz Records. On our third hour today, we're remembering Earl Hines, and in particular, the Earl Hines that fronted the traditional jazz sextet at the Hangover Club in San Francisco back in the late 1950s and early 1960s. Muggsy Spanier is the cornetist here, and this was Muggsy Spanier's theme. Thank you. That was Muggsy Spanier's theme song, Relaxin' at the Toro. The little group includes Muggsy Spanier's cornet, Jimmy Archie trombone, Darnell Howard clarinet, Pops Foster the bassist, and Earl Watkins the drummer, and, of course, the great Earl Father Hines at the piano. This one, well, no one ever had a traditional group could get away without playing this at least a couple of times during the evening.
Thank you.
when the Saints go marching in. It's Eddie Condon who said when he's elected president, he's going to do away with when the Saints go marching in, the Basin Street Blues, and what was the other one? St. James Infirmary Blues, yes. St. James Infirmary, Basin Street, and Saints Go Marching In. Those are the ones that traditional jazz musicians get their fill of. If you want to make a hit with a traditional jazz musician, don't request any of those. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley here with the Jazz Records, and this third hour today, we're listening to the great Earl Father Hines, some sides that he recorded with a traditional jazz group while he was working in the late 1950s and early 1960s at the Hangover Club in San Francisco. He brought the group to Chicago, and they worked the Birdhouse in Chicago in September of 1961. Muggsy Spanier didn't make the trip. Trumpet player by the name of Eddie Smith replaced him. The rest of the group remained the same, with Jimmy Archie trombone, Darnell Howard clarinet, Pops Foster bass, Earl Watkins the drummer, and Earl Hines at the piano. And this is the way they did the West End Blues. Thank you. That was trumpet player Eddie Smith playing the Louis Armstrong role on West End Blues. The same group, and yes, sir, that's my baby. Yes, sir, that's my baby. With the trumpet player Eddie Smith doing his best imitation of Muggsy Spanier there. Here's the group with Ellington's most famous composition, his first international hit, Mood Indigo. go, and now we'll listen to the Earl Hines Sextet. And yes, sir, that's my baby. This afternoon on Jazz, our jazz feature, is Earl Father Hines and his traditional jazz sextet that he worked with in the late 50s and early 1960s in San Francisco at the Hangover Club. He finally stopped with the sextet and began to travel the world, sometimes as a soloist, more often with a trio that included a reed player playing various reed instruments, along with a bassist and a drummer, and Earl Hines at the piano. And, he had a female vocalist, too. What was her name? Why can't I think of it? Marva Josie, was that it? Something close to that. Of his many compositions, this is my favorite, sometimes known as the Caution Blues, sometimes known as Blues in Thirds. Caution Blues. Back to Muggsy Spanier and his cornet again, with Jimmy Archie trombone, Darnell Howard clarinet, Pops Foster bass, and Earl Watkins the drummer, and Earl Hines at the piano. This is Caravan. Hey! Lonesome Road. There we have Earl Hines and his sextet, the group that he worked with in the late 1950s and the early 1960s at the Hangover Club in San Francisco. I thought it was a terrible waste of talent. The great Earl Hines, one of the giants of jazz piano, probably influenced more pianists than any other. And yet he was chained down to When the Saints Go Marching In and things like that. But as you heard, he made them presentable. Well, now, that just pretty well wraps up our little session for today. I hope you know that we're here every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock playing traditional jazz for you, playing the good old good ones, and also some of the newer things that some of the jazz giants are still around and still playing so well today. If you enjoyed it, tell a friend. We don't have an advertising budget, but the best form of advertising is when one friend tells another about a program that he's been listening to and enjoying. So tell him about Dick Buckley here on WBEZ every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock. I am Dick Buckley. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. Happiness.